Yeah, there's a lot of things to celebrate. So first, we have the new grade sevens with us. Yeah. We have Jean, Charlie, Caitlin, and Brayden. Let's give them a welcome. All right. We have a newcomer with us today, Monica's sister, Amy. Let's give her a welcome. Yeah. We have Grace with us back from the retreat, too. Let's give her a welcome. Yeah. We have a bunch of students who started high school. So we have, there's Kayla, there's Indy, there's Peter, and there's Emily, and there's Joel, right, Scum? Right? let's encourage them on their new journey. Yes. And then all the rest of you, too. So hope you guys really had a good week. Okay, we're going to get started with introducing your care groups for this year, all right? So first, before I put it back. I want to give a warm welcome to the care group leaders for this year. Most of them were group leaders at the retreat, but I'm going to introduce them, okay? So we have Hannah Lee. Stand up when your name is called so that people can see you. That's Hannah, okay? Stay standing so that they know which group to go to. We have Monica Park, yeah! We have Torrance Yoon. Where's Torrance? Yeah! We have Joey, where's Joey Kim? Yeah. And we have April, where's April Chia? Yeah! Okay, so these will be kind of the high C group leaders for this coming year, all right? So all of you guys are part of one of these groups, okay? For the most part, actually, we kept them very similar to the retreat, but there are some minor tweaks because there are a few people who weren't at the retreat, and we had to make a few adjustments, okay? So, okay, thanks. So you see them, have a seat. Here are your groups, okay? So find your name. So there will be, I think everyone except for maybe Amy will put you in a group, okay? But well, for today at least, then. We can decide about more. I don't want to put anyone on the spot. Okay, am I missing anyone? I hope not, right? Everyone's part of a group? Right? Everyone is part of a group, right? Okay, so for now, find your group and split off into a section of the room, okay? So, yeah, one thing that's good about the retreat is it's a good way to end the summer. One thing I don't like is, like, as soon as it's done, you don't have a time to really process as much and you're thrust right into school, right? So that's life sometimes, you know? You have good things and then you get thrust into other things. But do you guys all agree? What a way to end the summer though, right? Yeah? What a way to end that summer. What a powerful experience, the community that we had. Right? And connectedness, genuine connectedness. And for those that did experience it, you probably noticed when you went back to school, didn't it feel so different? Right? Just kind of the level of interaction and the conversation. You know, I mean, there's something about that connectedness that's very real. You know, so we learned about leaving our kind of comfortable lives, our comfort zones, and allowing God to take us into a place where there's risk involved, you know, but with confidence in the promise of God that He will bless us and take care of us, right? That was kind of really the message that I really wanted to instill in you guys. Okay, so, I mean, now that you're back at school and we've begun a new school year and we learned all these great things and had these good experiences, so what? Now what? Right? What's next? Right? So this is where I want to, you know, like focus our minds for the upcoming school year, okay? Together as a community too. I mean, we're so blessed that we get to come once a week at least, right? And be together with community. So I want to focus on two things today. Okay, well, first a scripture passage, all right? Just to kind of get us thinking. Let's read this all together. Ready? Matthew 28, chapter verse 19 to 20. Ready? Let's go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. This was kind of in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus is the last verses of that book of Matthew.
And this is his final words to him before he kind of left the disciples. So go, okay? So Jesus is saying, go out. And but with an encouragement, remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And that's kind of the message for you today, okay? Is to go where you are, go to school, go to the people around you. But remember, okay, that God is with you always, okay? Whatever you're going through, you're going to have a lot of struggles and difficulties, but God is with you. Okay, so that's kind of the underlying message today. But there's two things to focus on. Okay, so in a new journey of faith together as a high C, what's involved, okay? So I want to focus on two things. Okay, number one is community, right, up there. And then the second is about learning and the teaching that we receive at church, all right? So let's go into it a little bit. Community. What's the next slide? Okay, love first and foremost, right? Pretty much that. It is love that builds community. And I know that's what a lot of you felt, right? Is that sense of genuine love and care for one another. So there's a few verses this is a little bit long, but let's read it together. And as we read, think about what it's saying, okay? All right, let's read it together. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Okay, this is a commandment from Jesus to his disciples. This was part of his farewell speech in the Gospel of John to his disciples. Okay, so he's about to leave them, but he's saying, this is my commandment to you, okay, that you love one another as I have loved you. Okay, this is the foundation to any real community and any walk of faith, because we can't do our walk of faith alone. We need each other to encourage one another, to find support, because life is too hard to just live by ourselves. You guys agree? Yeah. Okay. Next verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7. This is a pretty famous passage too, but this is describing what love is. Let's read it together. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. What do you guys think? It's a pretty beautiful passage, isn't it? This is what love is, guys. It's patient, it's kind, it's not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude, right? It doesn't insist on its own way, right? But it's really about the giving of ourselves to one another. Okay, so love is a foundation in community. Okay, but a community is also one that doesn't just stay comfortable, right? We talked about this at the retreat a lot, where we just kind of like find the safe zone with the friends I know and I'm familiar with. That doesn't make a community. Right? That becomes a set of cliques then, right? And that creates divisions within the community, right? So we want to be a community that's always looking out for one another, okay? And reaching out. So I have a few verses here again. See, I'm showing this to you because there's a wealth of riches in the scripture and the Bible. Let's read this together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 22 and 26. When you guys read this together, does that help sink in? Yeah? Okay, well, try to make it sink in, okay? Okay, let's read, okay. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Okay. I know the execs over the last year, every week we did some form of like Bible study, right? So, and we've covered this passage quite a bit too. So, Jocelyn, basically, what's the message of this passage?
It's just saying that basically like they're using the analogy as the body and saying that in a community, no one member is less important than another. Mm-hmm. Just because like this person doesn't bring this to the table, that this person doesn't mean that they're any less important. Like we all need each other. We all need each other here.
Okay, good. Well said. Okay. Yeah, and it's such a beautiful passage. We don't treat anyone as inferior. Rather, those who seem kind of weaker, maybe are less popular or less talented, we lift them up, okay? We raise them up. The ones who have all that don't need to be honored because, you know, like they're confident enough as it is. So we raise each other up. And the last one, if one member suffers, we all suffer together with it, okay? If one member rejoices, we all rejoice together with it. That's the essence of a community, all right? Beautiful. And then next verse, Galatians 6:2. This is a very short one. Let's read this together. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, we bear one another's burdens. If we're going through a hard time, we should be able to come and share and receive that support and give that support to others. Okay, that's community. And also, a lot of you guys said this, and in some of the reflections that the executive wrote, we'll email this to you actually, is that a lot of you felt that connection with God from that love you felt with each other, right? And that is a gift of God that God has given to us. Because we can't see God physically in the flesh, there's other ways that God reveals himself to us. So when we feel kind of that genuine love and care for one another, that's a glimpse into the nature of God and who God is, right? So to know God better, we have to learn how to live in community better together and love God. And this is such an important lesson that we're trying to do here in church because this world needs this kind of love and community. Don't you guys agree? Look at your school. I mean, there's a lot of fronting involved and whatever, but really it's based on deep insecurity, loneliness, and fear, right? This world needs this kind of love and community. So we here have to practice this, right? And to be that kind of community. I think we have a verse. Okay, 1 John 4:7-8, and then 11-12, and 20-21. Let's read this all together. Today's basically, it's a lesson through the Bible, okay? That's how Bible is really rich, and it ties into my next point about teaching and learning. But let's read together. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us his command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Pretty good, huh? It's really good stuff. We're just getting started, but today we won't get too much. But also a loving community, though. What happens when people like come together and hang out for a while? What inevitably happens in any group of people and community? Any answers? One word that I'm thinking of. What happens? Any idea, Sarah? What happens when people come together? I mean, at first there might be all good feelings and stuff, but eventually, what?
Conflict,
right? Conflict, it's universal. I mean, it's just a part of being human beings. There will be conflict. We can't avoid it. I know right now, feelings are high and everyone's feeling the love and that's great. But, you know, anytime a community is together, there will be conflict. So that's not something to avoid, guys. We have to accept it's part of human nature. But, okay, the important thing is there are ways to deal with conflict in a healthy way, all right? And that is something that we have to learn how to do as a community, all right? Being honest about, you know, our hurts and our grievances, being able to communicate that to the other person, and also then being willing to listen to how my actions may have affected this other person. Okay, and then also finding the grace in us to accept that genuineness and forgive. You know, this world it's been a hardened world where people receive grievance, right? They get hurt or something and they hold it in.
You know, and I understand. I mean, at the retreat, I share so many stories. I wish I could have more time too. I could share so many stories too, but grievances I've had and I've held for so long. Because it's easier not to forgive. It's easier to just dislike that person or hate that person or, you know, it's easier. But that's not a healthy way. It doesn't lead to an abundant, joyful life. If anything, you become hardened. And when you become hardened, you know, God can't crack through your heart, right? And life will become, I don't know, just colder and whatnot. Okay, so this is part of being community, learning how to share honestly, how to listen, how to ask for forgiveness, and how to give forgiveness. I mean, that's the essence of our Christian faith too, isn't it? The whole aspect of forgiveness. Okay, so a few verses. All right, so let's read this together. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. You guys know what this means? Okay. We can say, oh, praise God and worship God all we want. But if there's some sort of grievance, like, it has to be addressed. Okay. You know, whether you yourself have the grievance or someone has a grievance against you. Okay. It's part of this human relations that God wants us to work out. That's something that we... You know, it takes time, but that's something we'll have to learn how to do. And then the next verse. Let's read this together. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. Yeah. Jesus wasn't talking about a literal number, 77 times. But you can. That's a big number, though, right? In other words... What Jesus is saying, Jesus knows human nature. He knows it's not easy to forgive when someone's like really hurt you. Okay, but part of the strength of character, okay, the life of faith is building that strength, asking God for that strength to be able to forgive. That's in essence essential part of real community and living together. Okay, so how's that? That's pretty clear for now. Okay, I'm just giving you guys like little initial foundational stuff. Okay, so that's about community. So to reinforce this lesson, we learned a little song last summer retreat. You guys remember? Next point, that's community. All right, this year we're going to focus a lot on that, what it means to be a community of God, a body of Christ. That's not the only thing, okay? Community is essential, but it needs to go hand in hand with, what's that word? Learning, yeah, learning and teaching, okay? We are a community that is built on love, okay? That's foundational. But we also need to shape our thinking together as a community, okay? You know what, if you guys heard, I mean, what you guys think about and what goes into your minds really shapes kind of the actual concrete outcome of your lives. Right? Have you guys heard of the term garbage in, garbage out? There's a term for that. You know, you put garbage into your mind, garbage comes out. Okay? But you put good things into your mind, good things come out. You guys know, so in a mountain, okay, yeah, the picture's not that clear, but you know, in a mountain, look, you got like these kind of paths, right? That these paths kind of sometimes get formed naturally by people walking more and more. In a similar way, what you think about, if you think about certain things continuously, these are what kind of really shape the path of your life. Okay, it's like a mountain. Our mind, whatever we think about, will really shape kind of the outcome of your life, how it happens. So what I mean is, in this world, what are the voices or the things that often enter our minds, you know, from the things around us? These are a lot of the things that are in the world. Money, power, popularity, materialism. I like this one, weapons of mass distraction, right? A This is a little dated. Who I don't even know what that be. That's Blogger, right? Who uses that? No one. Okay, so it's like Instagram, Snapchat, chat. Replace those, right? With those, you know. But anyways, okay? These are the kind of things, right? The more we, if we just focus on these things, that will shape kind of the direction your life takes. If you think about money a lot, money is kind of going to be what drives your life in the path. You think about power or like, yeah, your own security and that kind of, that's kind of what will shape your life. Okay. The thinking that goes on. So what we want to do though is learn how to think. Right, we talked about, so at the retreat, leaving Haran, right? Haran is that kind of safe, comfortable place for the place that God leads us to, right? And the outcome that God controls. But I mean, I think a lot of us express that desire to do that, but it doesn't just happen automatically. We need to always be learning. Okay, so teaching is very important. So at church, when you guys come, I want us to be a community that is serious about this kind of learning. Because I don't know, guys, like, I don't know how you guys think. If Sunday, you know, I understand. For a lot of families, a lot of people, church is just some place we go to, right? Out of habit, to see friends, to have a good time, whatnot. But guys, to me, like, and the way I approach ministry, this is literally, it's a matter of life and death, okay? Maybe not physical death, but death in terms of the kind of the quality of life that you will live, you know? If you're driven by these things, I don't know, do you guys, does this really lead to abundance and joy in life? I don't know. I mean, so, yes, we need some of these things to survive and live, but if that's the end goal, I don't know. I really don't think so. I would share more stories too, but I just, that, you know. So to me, it's a very serious thing. What will shape our minds and our thinking? Okay, and to me, I give you a little example. All those Bible verses about community, those are the things we learn, okay? We learn, like, what God has to say. So I have a few more verses. Okay, Romans 12, 2. Let's read this together. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay? I want us to be a community that thinks together, reflects together, so that we're not conformed, okay, to this world. But that we can actually be transformed, okay, by the renewing of our minds. Okay? So that the result, the end result is actually we'll actually be able to slowly but surely discern the will of God, okay? For my life and for this world. Okay? This is so important, guys, in this day and age that we live in. We need people who can think clearly, who can discern that will of God for your own life, but also the world around you. Right? You guys are the future leaders for this world. I want you guys to be a generation, right? We sang in Hosanna, you know, I see a generation rising up to take their place, right? With selfless faith, with selfless faith. See, these songs, like some of them are kind of like flaky, but some of them are really good, you know? Heal my heart and set it free. Open up my eyes to the things unseen, right? Show me how to love like you have loved me. All these kind of things. I want you guys to be that generation. But it comes with learning. And in Philippians, the next verse. Okay, let's read this together too. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. That's the Apostle Paul writing that. That's what he's referring to himself. But what I mean, what this means is like the kind of, what are you going to allow to shape your thinking? Okay? So that's what I mean. Whatever's true, honorable, just, pure, pleasing, commendable. Think about, these are the kind of things that we have to be thinking about. Okay? And in doing so, the God of peace will be with us. That's a very reassuring message. So as you're going through school, I know there's so much pressure to get good marks, and for the grade 12s now, you're thinking about university, okay? Yes, you know, you gotta, like, I don't want you to slack off or anything, so work hard, but, you know, think about what it's all for, how God wants to shape you and use you in your life, okay? There should be a purpose for you to get good marks and get into university and all that, right?
It's, you know, it's just an equipping process so that God can shape and use you. All right? So living in community and teaching. And finally, a verse. All right, Psalm 119, verse 105. Let's read that. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Okay? God's word, God's teaching. So that's what we're going to focus on here, that teaching. Why? So that that teaching can really be that lamp to our feet. You know when it's dark, you can't see anything, right? But if there's a lamp by your feet, you see what's ahead. You don't see the whole distance, but you see at least, okay, this step. Okay? God's word should be like that. It's a lamp to our feet. It lights our path so that, okay, I didn't know how I'm supposed to go, but God, remember we said, do not be transformed your mind, so you can discern the will of God. That's what this is, a light appearing to a path. Okay, God, maybe this is how I'm supposed to go in my life. All right? That's how precious teaching of God and the God's word is. And I want you guys to grasp that this year, because this is foundational for your life, right? When you guys go into university, all that stuff I talked about, those voices, you think it's powerful now, it gets more and more powerful as you go on in life. So we need to build this proper foundation and together as a community, supporting one another. So that's my real passion for this year, and I hope we can do that together. What do you guys say? Yeah? Amen? Okay, so